Join us for the next Bohannon Show as Greg Jarrett will talk about his book, The Russia Hoax, and also look at the commando raid arrest of Roger Stone.
Tonight at 9 on WGIL.
516 at WGIL. This is Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Will Stevenson, joined in studio by Galesburg Fire Chief and Knox County Emergency Management Coordinator Tom Simpkins. Chief, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I walked down here. It was a nice, bright
You
sun,
walked down
sun,
here?
Sunshiny
You're not supposed
day.
To walk in this weather.
Gorgeous, gorgeous outside.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about it, though. It's deceptive, right? The sun is out, but that, and sometimes in this weather, with it so dry, that makes it even colder with the wind chill than it actually could otherwise be. So,
well, the days are getting longer. I think we're 45 minutes longer from past the solstice now, and I think all those bugs that we get in the summer, when we say we had an easy winter, so we got all these bugs in the summer, that's a good thing to think of. We don't have those. So.
Yeah, thanks, Chief, for telling me about mosquitoes that can bite and bother the heck out of me in the summer. Yeah. Thank you. You know, it's probably just as well that maybe we think about those things, although 40 this weekend is going to... We're going to be wearing shorts.
Yeah. We've been bouncing between like 45 and 54 initially, minus 45, minus 54 wind chills.
Oh, yeah.
For tomorrow morning early for the last several days, and you know, at that point, who cares?
And you're no kidding. But in your job as emergency manager, you're following that, and you talk to the Weather Service quite a bit, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of the liaison between locals and the Weather Service. Anything at the state level, it's my job as EMA coordinator. I mean, I'm always stress coordinator. It's my job to put people together, and when things, the definition of a disaster is something you can't handle by yourself, and so it's my job not to just put people together locally, but if state resources or county resources are needed, mutual aid, that's kind of goes through my office.
Governor Pritzker today issued a disaster declaration for this part of Illinois, mostly because of the cold. But
that's of course all about the money, freeing up money to be able to use to do proactive steps, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In terms of the cold that we've had here, I know that your office and some of your people have been coordinating some of that information in terms of knowing what's available and what's not and that sort of thing in terms of the cold here, right?
Yeah. Of course, a big thing that always comes up for us is the warming centers. People are concerned about that, and there's all kinds of direction for what to do with your pets and your neighbors and make sure they're taken care of. But warming centers is always one thing that pops up, and we always have, of course, certain things open like the library and the public safety building, and the Department of Human Services are always there for people.
Well, you did have the library until about 18 minutes ago,
so that one's off the list. But fortunately, the YMCA decided they would like to get on the act and opened up their doors. Adam's been very good to do that. So
we talked about that yesterday and on the morning show today. That is a fantastic thing they're doing. That can be a slightly costly thing for them, but one that they're willing to absorb.
Yeah, of course, in our emergency operations plan for the county, the Red Cross is in charge of sheltering, and it's important to always keep people kind of in their lanes and having everybody do the job they're kind of supposed to do. It's my job to coordinate that. But so we do have a list of quite a few churches and schools in the county that if we need to open, and I've said this before, I think people got to get here tired of hearing it, that out here in West Central Illinois, the people are very self-sufficient, and we just have never really had a huge need for warming centers, even though I know when the weather gets like this, everybody thinks there's probably people going to work, and it's true. I know the Y is open today, and they have 8 people, which are most, I think, all 8 are from an incident we had I'll talk to you about later.
Yeah.
Warming centers are wonderful, and if we do have a need, and usually the bigger need comes because of a power outage, which often is because of ice storms. Fortunately, we're not expecting any precipitation in the next couple of days, which is huge.
We don't have to worry
about trees down and that type of stuff and power lines down. So
it has been a little windy, though, the last few days so that must be a concern, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I suppose when it gets colder, tree limbs are more apt to snap off. But I'm just glad there's no precipitation forecasted.
You mentioned residents kind of in the situation being self-sufficient, but make no mistake about it. They're also awfully helpful when it comes to things like this, too,
awesome.
Aren't they?
Awesome. I mean, Galesburg is just, and I don't know if all communities are like this, it's been my experience, but it just always rally together. We have a lot of wonderful agencies in town that work together, and they're always there to come through. We appreciate them greatly. There's some many wonderful volunteers that show up at the drop of a hat. If anything, sometimes we run into issues where we got too many people wanting to do too many things, and it's kind of hard to corral them.
You have a list of those warming centers and whatnot on your Facebook page, right?
Yeah, I do. And, of course, I can real quickly say it's the public safety building. Anytime, you know, the lobby's open there. We don't provide any food or anything, but there's restrooms there, and there's chairs that you can sit in, and it's not too comfortable. But the YMCA is open for 24 hours through 9 p.m. Thursday. Faith United Methodist Church will be open during some daytime hours today till 10 p.m., tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 10, and then Thursday they're open 8 a.m. to 4. So if you're in the South End especially, that the Faith United Methodist Church there at Knox and Day. The library is actually going to be closed. I believe the Human Services is still open at 477 East Main, so they have daytime places for people. Mm-hmm. Down in Abingdon, the community center there has opened up. It's the former care center on West Main Street that's just west of the high school.
Okay.
They're going to be open 24 hours on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, encouraging people to bring their own sleeping bags. But it's the old care center, a nice facility there. I know Dustin Steck and the people up in Oneida Watauga fire departments have their buildings open for the people, and I would imagine the same thing in Altona, Yates City, Williamsfield, and the other communities that the fire stations are there.
Okay, and I think we have some of those on our website, too, at WGIL.com if anybody needs those. But I'm sure if folks called the public safety building, you can provide that info, too, right?
And you know, I don't want to get competing Facebook pages, but we have our KCAN site.
That's fine.
A lot of the stuff, you know, the Knox County Alert Network, if you want to Google that up, we call it KCAN. Of course, everybody's got an acronym. But Jenny, my secretary, and then Amanda at the police department are busy always whether they're at home or at work, making sure that those get updated. So good things to know if something really severe happens. We'll try to have it there on the KCAN site.
Very good. All right. I still want to talk about the situation you were telling me about off air. But before I do that, what kind of shifting to your fire chief hat now? I know there have been some times where I've been out in the past and have covered some fires that have been in some really cold conditions. What kind of, I mean, you know, dumb guy Will sees, oh, fire, that means that's, you know, going to be a little bit warm for firefighters. But there are some inherent risks in weather like this, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, of course, firemen have adrenaline right at the outset, which kind of can carry you for a while. But usually, you know, once the fire's kind of out and you're doing overhaul, that's when it gets tough. We were fortunate. It's like the one day of the year we've actually had an extra couple guys. Typically, there were 11 guys spread amongst three stations. But we have 13 today, so we're running a second rescue squad up out of Fremont Station.
That's great.
We'll add another guy tonight when we get down to 12 to stay at 13. And then tomorrow we have two guys. Extra guys will be here all day. We're trying to limit the exposure of our big trucks out on the street.
Sure.
And you know, they're out all day too, but as many calls as with almost 5,000 calls, they're going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
We had a new rig up at Fremont Street the last few days that was filling in when that truck was down, but wonderful new truck. But having that second rescue squad allows us to get to rescue calls quicker. It keeps the engine available if we do have a structure fire. So with this weather, we're going to make sure we have an extra rig on the street at least till Thursday morning.
Okay.
Well, I guess if you want me to go ahead, I will. You want to ask another question, Will?
Yeah, let me do that first.
Sure.
I think, you know, outside of when you're fighting a fire in situations like this, I think obviously you think of the adrenaline and you know, the overhaul afterwards, as you said, that's a problem. But I think of those, you know, those hoses and things you use. Do those ever freeze up, or do those are there problems like, you know, with hydrants and things like that come up in weather like this?
Yeah, certainly. Hydrants can be an issue. And, you know, we suggest that people, even now, I mean, make sure their hydrants are available, at least so we can see them and know where they're at. Mm-hmm. We carry hand torches on the truck, the little propane torches, if we have to unfreeze the hydrant. But yeah, that can be an issue. Hose lines will freeze. And typically what we do, if we have a hose line, we'll have the nozzle partially open and not shut it. Kind of like if you're worried.
Sort of the equivalent of leaving your faucet open.
That's exactly
right.
And that's something folks might want to consider the next couple days is leave that faucet running just slightly so that the water's moving through the lines and not so apt to freeze. So that's a challenge. The gear has gotten kind of, unfortunately, our gear over the years, they found out years ago that firemen are dying more from heart attacks than anything. So they've really tried to lighten up the gear. while making it still fiery, you know, good to go in a fire with.
Yeah.
But when you get cold weather, sometimes that gear is not what it used to be. Mm. It's the big thing is the gloves. And again, we're trying to, wearing leather gloves because of fire situations, and then you're wearing those in the winter.
Yeah.
It's sometimes not the best, so it's kind of counterproductive. But we always have GHOS on scene for us, and we like to set up a quick rehab with them to make sure the guys are, taken care of that way.
Quick rehab means?
Well, guys come out of fire, usually they'll get out. We like to get the gear off, get them in the warm condition, make sure that their vitals are doing well, get them some water. That's probably the biggest reason.
Yeah, hypothermia and stuff like that can be a concern, can't it?
Yeah.
In addition to frostbite and whatnot, the gear
sure.
off.
And we had one of our guys, Joe Grojes, got a frostbite several years ago, but on East Main Street, we had a fire down there. And
I remember that.
It can sneak up on you real quick, especially if you're in your gear, and the gear will just freeze solid, and you're walking around under there. And we do have the Nomex hoods that we wear. But if you've got anything exposed and you're not paying attention, in the heat of the battle, that can happen pretty quick.
Okay. Let's wrap up by talking about I don't want to say serendipitous, but that's the word I'm thinking of now that the Y is open as a shelter. It's kind of been put into use pretty quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yesterday morning, we had a call for a sprinkler system activated at 820 East 5th Street. It's one of our apartments over in the south end. It's the old Cottonwood Nursing Home. And what happens is they have a dry sprinkler in the attic, which is under air pressure. I'll try to shorten this up for you. But at some point, water got in the system. The pipes, of course, up in the attic, there's no heat. They froze. So they had all kinds of water, a couple inches of water, all in the building, on the floors. The ceiling came down. They're struggling to try to get the building back up. We've taken the people out of the building there. So in doing so, some of the people were able to find alternate housing in other locations. But we had about 8 people that were displaced and had nowhere to go. So we had the First Baptist Church on South Cherry on standby for a shelter with the Red Cross. So I made the call over to Pastor Myers over there, and he got it open. So at 4:30 last night, we had the city handy van pick them up from over on 5th Street and take them over to the church. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we had Adam Sampson calling, say he'd be glad to house them on Tuesday and Wednesday because they were going to open up anyway. So they were taken by Jeter this morning, the handy van out there.
Great.
Lon Dunn at the United Way has offered to provide meals. So that's been happening. Aaron Harlan at the Red Cross and we had local volunteers, Marty Andrews and Pat Johnson, who are always there. We're with the people last night and making sure they had everything they needed. And Jackie Smith at the Salvation Army is investigating alternatives more long range for these folks.
That's great.
When we had them out of their apartments not too long ago, when we were, making them updates, making them safety upgrades, they housed them over at the Broadview. So, So it's really all the people are doing the job they're designed to do and doing it well. And yeah, so it's everything's wonderful. And those 8 people are the 8 people that are at the YMCA making use of the warming shelter there now.
Damage to that building at all?
I'm guessing. Yeah. And it's a kind of a sad deal. And, I don't go too much into it, but, it's been one we've been struggling with for several years and, hoping that, the big thing is the people, making sure they get taken care of.
I imagine that's probably a good lesson for everybody, especially when you think of where that kind of started in the attic area of that building. That's something you want to keep in mind in situations like this too, right?
Yeah, it's very important to make sure your heating systems are working. And I would even suggest, hate to have people do this, but getting up like in the middle of the night, just make sure all your systems are working in town. You don't have some leak going on. If there's something bad happening, you got a pipe leaking, you can catch it quicker. Make sure your smoke and CO detectors are working over the next few days. If you're going to use alternate heating, we don't really recommend it.
But, I was just going to ask you, you got to be super careful with things like space heaters and whatnot,
the thing is, it's when you go to bed at night and you're not having an eyeball on things and, we want you to be able to wake up in the morning.
Absolutely. Anything I'm missing that folks might want to keep in mind with this cold, Chief?
I don't know. I'm sure there's 100 things we could talk about with this. It's going to be, I don't know. I don't want to say it's going to be exciting, but it's going to be,
exciting for you,
maybe. It's supposed to be like 40 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's all wonderful. We just got to get from here to there. And I think people can just, having all these places canceled is going to be nice. And so that we can reduce our risk and not have to be out.
by Tuesday, unfortunately, we'll be back down to 30 for a high. Yeah, so we'll be back to winter before you know it. Here,
you know, you could give me a positive here, Will. You always go to the negative. Come on, give me something. Give me something good.
It's because I'm a part of the dishonest fake media, Chief. What do you want from me? Do you want me to stick with the positive all the time and give all the happy talk? No, I imagine for you that this is a lot of work, and especially, you know, even if, you know, you don't have to send your fire crews out between that and whatever, you guys are there and you guys are ready to go.
You know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're trained to do. And to some, you know, extent, it's the time you get to be all you can be. And, you know, I mean, most guys that are firemen, I don't want to say we look forward to, you know, freezing cold and people being distraught, but it is what we're trained to do.
Well, lest I get accused of being a negative Nancy once again, thanks for all you do, and thanks for all the fire department and all the staff of the public safety building do during situations like this. I think there are a lot of people that might not ever actually tell you thank you, but I know that they're grateful for your help.
Well, thank you, and the people have always been very good to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chief Tom Simpkins, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Will.